We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for NFL Sunday, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith on WEEI.
Here at Howl at the Moon here at Patriot Place at Gillette Stadium, where at 1 o'clock the New England Patriots will host the Cleveland Browns in what will be a very big AFC conference game. Welcome into the Best Yet Private Brand Studios, where we're going to get you game ready for the Patriots against the Browns. This just in to the Best Yet Private Brand Studios. Jermaine Wiggins has signed with the Patriots to play running back.
Wiggy, you ain't getting much out of me, though.
Wiggy is back. Well, they ain't getting much out of the running backs, and we will get to the very latest on the injury situation for both of these teams in the running back spot. But, boys, let's wind back to last week, where the Patriots got a 24-6 win over the Carolina Panthers, and Bill Belichick joined the Greg Hill Show after that game, the day after the Carolina victory, and talked about that 4-0 road record.
Just the players' mental toughness and resiliency to deal with whatever the, you know, whatever the schedule is, and be ready to go out there and play and play competitively and, you know, play well for 60 minutes. So that was, guys done a good job of that all year, started in preseason.
So 5-4 overall, 4-0 on the road. Mm. That is so weird. Normally you'd hear about a team being 4-0 on the road and expect the record to be 8-2 or 9-1. What does it say about this team that they have won on the road this year?
It says that the easier games have been on the, on the road. When you think about their home games, think about it. We had
Tampa, Dallas,
yeah. And your toughest game on the road was obviously the Chargers, which was a great win for the team. But then you start to look at, you know, some of those other victories that they had. It's just that's the way it's shaken up this year. Now it's about it, to me, I don't look at home road record. I look at the teams that they're playing. Are you beating the good teams? And right now they're in a position that the last time we've seen them play a good team, which was the Chargers, they won that football game. And today I think they have another really good football team. Let's see if they can beat this good football team.
See, I always thought that if you sit there and try to determine why a team is good at home and bad on the road, or good on the road and bad at home, I think you'll literally give yourself a popsicle headache. I don't think there's an answer. I don't think this is a this team is really, they come together on the road. They all have dinner together, and, you know, there's one, no distractions, and you know what? They're focused at home. Ooh, there's, you know, the baby mama. Ooh, there's, your in-laws are coming into town. You have friends. You didn't get any sleep. I just feel like you can't put your finger on anything. You can't determine it. Some of it has to do with the teams you play. Some of it has to do with the circumstance that you were dealing at the time, how important that Chargers game was after you beat the Jets. and now you come home, and then you have another big challenge at home. Mm-hmm. Can you adapt to the circumstances and deal with them? So I actually think they're starting to build almost like some resilience, mm-hmm. like you were looking. That kind of determines whether teams have a long playoff run or not. Like, how are they built internally? What have they gone through? What's important to them? And I feel like, this game is an important piece to that puzzle. Now, even if they lose the game, well, they still have 7 games left.
Yeah, but isn't it more about the teams being good? Because look at their road wins. Jets, mm-hmm. Texans, Carolina. And besides the Chargers, that was the best team that they faced on the road.
Yeah,
those teams all stink.
Yeah, I think the matchups is a key part, and I also wonder if maybe they just don't have a home field advantage. I wonder if that's kind of also part of it with them. Is some teams, even when they're not great, they have, and on all 4 sports, they have such a major home field, home court advantage. And for years, the Patriots did, but you wonder if that was just Tom Brady.
Maybe yes.
The team
yes.
was just really, really good. It wasn't like, oh, my God, you come to Gillette and teams forget how to play. Because you only get, like, one crazy weather game a year, right? For being in the Northeast, yeah. It's like, even today, it's going to be 50 degrees and sunny, so it's not going to really throw Cleveland off or anything like that. So the home field advantage where should have maybe come into play against Miami or against New Orleans, and it just really didn't.
Yeah, I think that for you, you're onto something a little bit in that, in this group starting to come together, and not that it's, hey, everybody be like the Celtics and go have pizza parties on the road.
Yeah. And we see how that's not working.
But when you travel, the ability to come together happens differently than when it is on the road, in part because, again, you're not having pizza parties, but there is that kind of forced, all right, you guys are all together on this trip. And I think it does help a team sort of come together, and doing it in back-to-back weeks, even though Carolina isn't great, mm-hmm. They still went out and hammered that team probably the way they should have, because going in, they were just two teams with very similar records, but we came away thinking, boy, Carolina really stinks, mm-hmm. and they maybe haven't elevated the Patriots very much off of it at all, unfortunately.
And isn't that what you should, you should beat the teams you're supposed to beat, mm-hmm. first off. They should have beat Miami, they didn't. The very first game.
That damn game is going to haunt us all
even
year.
New Orleans, I'm like, man, New Orleans, they're better than I think we all thought they were. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like, that was a game, maybe they should have won that game, especially if it was at home. The other ones, I didn't think they should have beat Dallas. I didn't think they should have beat Tampa. I thought the Chargers was a 50-50. They won. They beat them. They should have beat Carolina. This one, I feel like it's a 50-50. Now you're throwing all the injuries, you're throwing all the everything that's going on, and then you sit there and go, okay, who's going to make the smartest play at the end? I think this is this game is 100% about Mac Jones today. 100%.
Right.
Like, this is his coming out party. This is it. You're going to need to do everything. And I think he is more likely to fall on his face, okay, than he is to be successful. I feel like the last 2 games have been really scary, and it feels like it's about to, like, implode. Like, he got away with some bad games, and they won. And now I feel like, man, if you have another bad game against an offense that can compete against you, I don't know.
Yeah, he's actually played a little bit better in some of the losses than he did in some of the wins,
right,
and then
right.
we sort of just mask it.
Yeah.
Like, well, they won, and look how bad Sam Darnold is, and you kind of rip him there. But there are definitely some things to pick apart last couple of weeks.
It's kind
of
like he's at that point where it's like, people are like, they're praising him for having a good season, which I'll say I give him credit for not making a ton of mistakes, right?
Considering every other rookie is crapping
right,
their
but
pants,
the problem is
we stopped looking at Mac as a rookie.
Yeah, but you can't compare him to those other rookies because those other rookies play for horrible teams. It's like saying, it's like being 350 pounds and going, oh, I'm the lightest guy at fat camp when everybody else is 450 pounds. Like,
going to nicest guy in prison references now on Mac Jones?
Exactly.
I mean, this is how far we're going?
Right, but you can't look at those other rookie quarterbacks, because of course he's playing better than them because of their situations. When we look at Mac Jones, and I think Christian's right, we're at this position right now, and we're going, okay, is he a guy that just doesn't make a lot of mistakes and takes the easy checkdowns and what the defense gives him, and that's who he is, kind of a game manager, or does he make that next step and go, here's a guy that might be able to if he can go in the right direction, show you that he can win you football games. And I think we're kind of like right there now.
My thing is like, has he had a dumpster fire game yet?
No.
No.
Okay, do we all think that he's due for one?
It's going to happen.
Right?
I mean, even look at Justin Herbert last year against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's kind of my point.
And he was awesome. He had one of the best rookie seasons ever.
And what happened? I would like, because I'm just listening. Okay, so what happened before that? Was he flirting with it like weeks before that? And you're like, oh, man, he's starting to hit the wall. Like, I just feel like that's a real thing.
He's had dumpster fire, like,
plays
and, like, you know.
But he wasn't the reason why – he was never the reason why they lost the game.
No, never.
And that's what I think is a dumpster fire game.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like this could be his dumpster fire game. Now, like, he may throw for 350 yards.
you could be wrong.
But you know what?
Which is – it could be his best game.
But you know who gets credit for that then? Bill Belichick.
Avoiding the dumpster fire game?
Because apparently Mac is only a byproduct of his coaching. All the other rookie quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning, 29 touchdowns, 28, he must have had sucky coaching because he never ultimately broke through. Like, it's just really funny the purview with which we look at Mac Jones where we're sitting here and it's, well, let's wipe away what goes on with other rookie quarterbacks and let's just look at this guy and say that by week 10, if he hasn't broken through or even if he throws for 350, well, he's got a great coach.
So let me ask you this question then. If he was playing for Jacksonville, the Jets, or the Bears,
he'd be horrible.
I think he would
look like the rest of those quarterbacks.
I think he would be I disagree. I think he would be better than those guys, yeah, no. Because this guy,
football minds.
Because look,
when you say better,
is he going to make Jacksonville Wiggy a 5-4 team? Is he going to play the position better because of what we've seen, the way he operates in the pocket, and the fact that through 9 weeks, we've even seen veteran quarterbacks have the game where they crap themselves? This guy's gone through 9 NFL games, and we have not sat here once and said he's the reason they lost. That puts him above all the other rookies.
When you guys say better,
got to give him credit for that.
But when you guys say better, what does that mean? He has 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So when you say better, if he was in Chicago, New York, or Jacksonville, you're saying his numbers would still be the same?
But also, you're looking – so have you – how much of Trevor Lawrence have you actually watched?
Not much.
Me neither. So I don't – I mean, as far as highlights and a couple games here and there – but I don't feel like he – and even Justin Fields has been playing better. And Trevor Lawrence –
he's getting killed. Right. Fields is getting absolutely demolished.
Yeah, and
every time I've seen the Bears play, he's running for his life.
And I feel like that part of it, it seems like it's a lot of coaching based on just the play calling that they have. It just makes no sense. But Trevor Lawrence is on a bad team.
I know, but Christian, when you say better, if you look at Mac Jones and statistically he's probably average to below average in everything, and we all agree he's playing for a good organization – and then you guys go, well, if he was with Chicago, the Jets, or Jacksonville, he'd be better. What does better look like average or below average?
Good players are good players.
Trevor Lawrence is a good player. Trevor Lawrence had a bad rookie year, but he's a good player.
I think
the pre-draft stuff, you can't just completely throw out the window. Like, Mac Jones was the fifth best quarterback coming out of school, and after 10 games, I don't think all of a sudden he's the best quarterback.
I don't think he is. I just think that I just feel like, you know, Mac, would he be – I feel like him, okay, based on talking to him and listening to him, he's just, you know, savant-like. And he's going to do what's right no matter what, you know. And if the guy says, hey, throw it over there, I think he knows not to throw it there, where the other guys would just throw it or just panic. I don't think he has a panic chip. I don't think he has a let me run and try a reckless chip in his body like Zach Wilson does.
No, he's exactly like Zach Wilson because he's a rookie under the wig scale.
No, I'm saying you're telling me he would be better if he than those guys.
He would play better. He would play better for –
the Jets.
For the Jets.
So what is
Zach Wilson? But I think his numbers would be a lot worse than they are here. The record would be the same.
Right.
I think you'd look at him and we wouldn't even really talk much about him. We'd be like, oh, just another rookie.
But Wiggs, in your world, Justin Herbert should be all world because he had 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions as a rookie. He had the numbers.
He was a better quarterback, and when you looked at where potentially in projection of where he potentially could go, you looked at him differently. To say that Mac Jones would be better in Jacksonville, the Jets, and Chicago, so if Trevor Lawrence
said those teams would play better with him. He would clearly take his lumps, but he operates differently than all four of those quarterbacks.
So the only
say that, even if Momo Magoo were the coach of the Patriots.
The only thing you think he would do differently is he wouldn't force balls like Zach Wilson.
And then they would never win anything. Right. I think those three other guys have to play well to win. Mac Jones, as proven out by the last couple of weeks, does not have to play well, and the Patriots can still win.
And if
they're coached well, they have a better defense than all those teams.
And if Mac Jones is there, who's to say he doesn't think like those other guys and goes, I have to do it. Of course. I don't think that's him.
Yeah.
Well, then
I
they think, just punt a lot because they're not going to make a lot of plays.
Yeah, but that's fine. Okay?
But he wouldn't lose
no profit,
the game.
No loss. What the hell is he stupid saying?
But they would still end up losing if they're not scoring points.
If you take the nickels and dimes, you never go broke.
Yeah, but there'd be no nickels and dimes.
Loose change.
And maybe not, but you know what we wouldn't be doing? Sitting at halftime of a game saying that dumb rookie quarterback allowed the Patriots to score three touchdowns because he's a moron.
Yeah, we'd be sitting there and going, look, this guy can't move the ball. Every series they go three and out because
he wouldn't go three and out every series.
But
he would still throw a pick.
He's got seven of them.
He's got seven of them. So my point is, if he was there, he probably, like those other guys, would be wanting to do more because they.
But you're assuming that he's insecure that way. Like
he can't handle the
situations. Like he'll be internally forced to do more and make bad decisions.
I know. I'm talking about because of the team around him. You guys are assuming if he goes to a bad team, he's going to do the same things that he's doing here.
I would say, I think no matter where he goes, he's a good quarterback. So wherever he goes, he's going to make those players better. I think he's going to make the coordinator's job easier, ultimately, because he can handle more volume. He's smarter than the other guys. They don't have to just run nakeds and waggles and bullcrap plays that athletic quarterbacks do because they can't figure out who the freaking Mike is.
What point is that?
This, only two teams do that. So.
Yeah, but this.
Whole, oh, that's true. Only two. Like
this whole thing about figuring out where the mic is like the dumbest thing ever, because what do they do offensively that goes, wow, look at they're picking.
It's a sign of intelligence.
No, but I'm talking about when we watch the offense, we don't go, wow, look how elaborate this offense. They're running all different types of plays. He's doing the, and we all sit here and go, when are they going to let him off the leash? When's the offense going to open up? So they're not doing a ton with him offensively.
I don't sit there. I'm not fascinated with this whole, when are they going to allow him to throw the ball
but
down the field?
But you're
saying he throws interceptions. That's the thing.
He
throws the ball down the field.
But
more
are you saying that you never heard that before?
No, I have. But Wiggs.
In the first 3 weeks.
Wiggs, here's what it feels like. He can throw for 350, three touchdowns, and throw 40 times, and 20 of them are down the field. And it'd be great play design and good coaching.
No.
Not that the kid deserves any credit whatsoever.
I think we give him credit, but the problem I think that a lot of people give him credit, but some people give him above and beyond credit. He's doing a good job for what they're asking a rookie to do. But let's not say, well, if this kid was in Jacksonville or with the Jets or Chicago, he'd be just as good there, because that's a lie, because those organizations stink.
I think what it comes down to
is... So you're saying he's so mentally weak that he would just crumble being coached by Urban Meyer?
No, he would look like the guys that are there right now.
Or he would play the position a little bit better, to where we'd be able to put a line of delineation in there. Now all of a sudden,
Trevor Lawrence isn't a smart quarterback. Everybody told me he was the next Peyton Manning, all world.
And you know what Peyton Manning did his first year? He had one more touchdown than interception, or the other way around.
But my point is,
you're looking at Mac Jones and saying, "How come you're not Tom Brady?"
No, I'm not saying that.
Put him in as a rookie like these other guys and look at him that way.
No, every time we bring up Mac Jones, you compare him to the other guys, and I said if those other guys were here,
well, that's the group that he is.
Okay, so if those other guys were here,
only one who could play even close to Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence.
So 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions?
And the pocket presence and not crapping himself and being able to manage the team on the road and being able to run the offense.
How do you know that those guys would do that here in a good organization?
I think they would all be better.
I'm with Wiggy. I think Fields would be good here, or at least better here. I think Trevor Lawrence would be much better here.
I don't think that's. I think most guys would have a better chance here.
Yes. No. Yeah, yeah.
Would have a better chance
better
here.
Chance
I don't know if they
here.
Would be actually better because
Justin Fields can't read a book right now.
And I think you can look at last. Well, hold on. I didn't say better. So you have a better chance because I do think Like, once you get these guys into your organization, you realize how limited they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then every coach says, you know, they run their system. And you can see, like, Cam Newton, as an example, never grew as a quarterback.
Okay.
Like, the same things that he did in college, he never was forced to do it in the pros. So what they had just adjusted everything for him. Don't worry about the mic. The center's going to do it.
Right.
Don't worry about the alerts. We're not going to have them. Don't worry about check with me's. We're going to call it and run it. Like, okay, that's okay, so fine. Now you bring a quarterback like that in here to the Patriots. You realize, hell, we've tried to teach him. He gets it wrong every time. We can't risk it anymore. We can't have him do it. Okay, well, he can't run this because he can't figure out what off coverage is. We just have to run boots, nakeds, waggles, and crosses.
But that's what they did in college, though. But Justin
Fields. But there's no advancement.
No. But
Trevor
Lawrence, Justin Fields, even Zach Wilson to a certain extent, they never did that in college. They were guys, if you watch Justin Fields play, and I watch a lot of games where he played, he was a guy that went through progressions. He hit checkdowns. He hit different routes, combinations.
Doesn't look like it now.
No, not now because of the way he's getting coached.
So he forgot?
No,
I think it's,
or it's ingrained in you.
I think like 75% of a quarterback's success is where they go.
Right.
I really think if you go to the wrong spot, we saw it. Tannehill's a great example. He went to the Dolphins. You're like, oh, he's not very good. And then he goes to the Titans, and he's great. Tom Brady, in fact, is a great example. His last year here, his numbers sucked.
Right.
He was miserable. The team was fine. And then he goes, and he's winning a Super Bowl the next year. We're talking about what Mac Jones would do in Jacksonville. I'll tell you, not much.
No.
If you put Tom Brady, if you want to go to the extreme, put Tom Brady in Jacksonville right now. Does that team even make the playoffs?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No Stop way it. In yeah. hell they make the playoffs.
They win nine. They
no
win nine.
Chance.
Nine.
No way.
They each
Stop
easily.
It. Well, no way. They got a good defense. Well, they got players all over the place. Nine. Stop
well,
it.
Well, the one thing that neither quarterback will have today is Odell Beckham Jr., who decided to go to the Los Angeles Rams after being released by the Cleveland Browns, and Gerard Cherry, a teammate of both of you gentlemen along
both,
the way.
They both definitely knew that.
Who is a – oh, yeah, that is true. So Gerard Cherry's the talk show host out in Cleveland now, and he thinks that the Browns are better off without Odell.
Well, sometimes I know numbers can lie, and in this case, I think they're telling the truth because Baker Mayfield seemed like a much better quarterback. The things he was being accused of last week of not being capable of doing, throwing a deep pass, having rhythm, having touch, leading and orchestrating a drive for the past few weeks. He did all that, and guess who was not on the football field, not even in the stadium, and probably wasn't even in the state. That was Odell Beckham Jr. So with that, I'm a firm believer now that based upon what I've heard coming out about what was going on with Odell and his camp, I'm a firm believer that they're a better offense because the stress of having to get the ball to him is not there on the play caller and Kevin Stefanski, as well as Baker Mayfield when he's making his reads and going through his progression.
We are going to talk about the Patriots offense coming up quickly, but Fourier, are you buying that the Browns are better off without Odell?
Yeah, no, I think overall it's probably best for him just to be out of the building. I don't know why they just couldn't make it work. I have no idea like what the chemistry issue was between those two. But again, it's only a one week sample size. Okay, they played one game without him this year.
I was going to say, but overall, there's a bunch of games. Overall, yeah. I think it's 12 games,
yeah.
And Baker Mayfield is much better.
And what do you think it is then? Why do you think Baker Mayfield, do you think
he knows he has to force
him
the ball?
Force the ball
it's
to
not,
him?
Yeah, it's no longer just the open guy. I think, and as Gerard said too, it's the play calling and it's the quarterback who's just like, okay, crap, I got this guy who's the bigger personality.
Right.
I got to get him the ball. And it just kind of derailed the offense.
Because my number one guy is now Jarvis Landry, who's not going to be a big problem if he doesn't get the football.
Right.
He's not going to, you know.
And they're a run team anyway.
Right.
I mean, even without their top two guys today, they're still going to run the ball. That's their bread and butter.
And that's what we are going to get to because the running back situation for both teams is a mess. It's a little more serious for the Browns than it is the Patriots. We will get to the Patriots offense coming up. Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston is in at 10 a.m. We'll also talk about why a member of the Carolina Panthers is so ticked off at Mac Jones. We'll rip through the Patriots defense and how they match up today against Cleveland at 10:30. Andy Hart of WEEI.com is in at 10:45. Lots to get to. We are here at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville at Patriot Place, getting ready for the Patriots to welcome in the Cleveland Browns.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
NFL Sunday.
We're right back to it with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith
on WEEI.
So I know we had our typical weekly Mac Jones discussion already here on NFL Sunday on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. We are at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville Patriot Place. It's Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, Keefe here with you. We'll talk football with Tommy Curran a half hour from now. But the New England Patriots are going to be without Damian Harris today. He got a concussion last week and has not made it through the protocol. However, Ramondre Stevenson will be the big boy back today. It looks like he is going to be active. And to tie that in, boys, to Mac Jones joins Merlone and Fourier every Patriots Monday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. He's normally in at 2:30. And Mac talked about how running the ball just takes pressure off everybody.
It's all complimentary football, and we want to be able to run or throw at any time in the game. And yeah, it was a little bit of a weird game. Like, we got up a little bit, so we ran a little bit more. But I think we just need to be able to do both run or pass whenever we want. And the running backs ran really hard and got those extra yards, and the linemen created the holes and then finished the blocks downfield. So it's kind of how you want to play the game of football.
So, Wiggs, there's two things here. Number one, no Damian Harris, but also you've got a bunch of Cleveland Browns defensive linemen like Miles Garrett, Tack McKinley, who wasn't practicing earlier this week, who are dinged up. So what gives offensively for the Patriots? I know Fourier had mentioned that he thinks it's a big Mac Jones day. What's the mix offensively?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on that same train with Fourier. I think this is all about not just Mac Jones. Today is a quarterback game because both teams are dealing with their running back position really being limited. Because even though Stevenson is playing, he's coming off a concussion. So who the hell knows if it's one or two hits and then he might be dealing with something. To me, this game is about the quarterback play. Which quarterback performs better, that team will win the football game because both of their running games are really, really taking an L today.
So Stevenson, so I remember last week it was Sam Darnold, right? He was dealing with a concussion. He was fine.
Mm-hmm. Was he?
Yeah, true.
Was he, though?
Maybe he was still kind
I mean,
of
he played
ghost.
Through it, I yeah. guess.
He did. He played
but
through
he was,
it.
He was a mess.
So if it's because when you were talking, I was like, all right, so they've usually gone into most of these games with one of the two big backs, like either Harris and then Bolden,
yeah,
and well, it's
well
like
Stevenson
a third
and Taylor were kind of alternating yeah. who yeah. was even active for a little while. Yeah. Like Bolden's always up, and they can always use him, but they were kind of who fumbled, who missed the blitz pickup, right, or whatever. Right. And I thought Stevenson, until he got hurt last week, was their best back. And I was, you never want Damian Harris to get hurt, obviously, but if he wasn't going to play, you were hoping, all right, maybe you get a full game of Stevenson. Give him 18 carries and see what he is. But coming off the concussion, I don't know if they do that because right. he might just be one hit away. And I was like, oh, crap, now he's back in the tent again. So at least he's active. That's a good sign. I assume he starts. But wouldn't you also assume there's going to be a lot of Bolden, maybe even some J.J.
Yeah,
Taylor?
Yeah, because of the position, especially yeah. with the position. It's not like the quarterback position, you might be dealing with a concussion. But how many times are you lowering your shoulder and lowering your head?
You're not going to hit on every play that you get the ball.
So
yeah.
Stevenson, I think that might – you got to factor that into it, like, how many times are they going to give him the football to where every time they know he gets the football that he has a really high chance of, maybe getting another concussion.
But let's just say he's fine and forget about the word concussion because everybody gets caught up with that. It's like, oh, he'll be tentative. What if he's 100% fine? Then what's changed? Like, really, I mean, you don't have, you have your big back, which he's a stud.
Well, then okay. He should get 15,
yeah,
16,
so,
17
so really,
carries,
you're
then.
Not adjusting anything.
I don't
really.
Know if he's a stud. I mean, I think you're getting a back that you know he looks like he can run the ball good.
Yeah.
And does he have one of those games where you can give it to him 20 times where he rushes for 100?
I kind
of
think he does.
I think he's a stud. Yeah. I think he's really nifty, and he's a better open field runner than I think any of us kind of realized. Just look at the way he kind of maneuvers, and he's got breakaway speed that I didn't think he had also. Mm. I mean, he had the one big run in the preseason where everyone was like, holy crap, that dude's got a motor, but you'd figure, all right, this is a bunch of, you know, third stringers, and they couldn't chase him. But he's physical, he's fast, so maybe nothing changes. Because Brandon Bolden is still your third down back.
Yep.
J.J. Taylor is your spell back, I would guess.
Yeah.
Even though he's little, he's still your first down back. So, really, they're probably going into this going, okay, we're not adjusting anything.
Yeah, how they would normally use Harris in this game is how you use Stevenson.
Right. And now you got to see, is Stevenson as good as we've seen Harris to be?
I don't know if there's a big difference. I really don't. I mean, Harris has been solid outside of the games that you went up against really good run defenses, right? Nobody runs against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Nobody really runs against the Saints. The other games, he's been good. What, he's got a touchdown in like five straight weeks or whatever it is. Like, Harris has been good. I'm not trying to discount Harris, but when you also watch Stevenson play, when they actually give him an opportunity, I don't think the difference is that
significant. So you're not really missing a bit.
I don't think so.
I think the issue is in pass protection. Who do you trust most Bolden. To put back there?
Yeah.
Well, that's Bolden. Well, there you go.
Because I don't think Harris does a great job either. You know, he's had a couple issues in pass protection, and Stevenson clearly, you know,
they all have.
Yeah. So
I mean, they all have. There's a bad play that you can pop on of all four of those running backs missing.
All right, now hang on here, because we have two tight ends. How does Jonnu Smith potentially fit into carrying the football today?
Yeah.
And do you put any stock in Matt Lacoste being brought up as, so maybe instead of a running back being the guy in protection, that it's either an extra guy on the line of scrimmage with a tight end, or you're lining a tight end up in the backfield maybe as a fullback, because that's somebody who can chip in on pass
protection?
See,
I wonder if Jonnu Smith even plays, because he's questionable all week.
Right,
he's limited all week, shoulder injury, terrible season, and now you add on top of it the injury.
So it's it's an indicator of Smith might have a bit of a different role, so we need Lacoste, or it's out and Lacoste is out.
Yeah. Like, they did that, I forget which position it was earlier in the year, where there was like a Saturday signing, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, and then it was because the guy at that position, even though he was limited all week, didn't play, and you're like, okay, that's obvious. So Matt Lacoste being on the active roster, my guess is Smith doesn't play.
Smith is struggling as a tight end. He gets one carry here and there on a jet sweep. You're not putting him in the backfield. And he's not like – it's a different way, and Christian probably could tell you this, because I've done it, and Christian has probably done it in his career. It's different to, like, be the lead back on the ISO blocks, but is Jakob Johnson not playing?
No, he's playing.
Jakob's playing.
Yeah, why would you put Jonnu Smith or Matt Lacoste in the backfield when you have a fullback?
Well, you'd have the fullback leading for Jonnu.
No, I'm saying, let him run the ball a little bit.
Oh, Jonnu Smith?
Like Cordarrelle Patterson.
No,
but they've done it before.
Well,
he's
done a jet sweep.
Tennessee, they even did it. They put him in the backfield. He ran.
What did he run? He ran on. Maybe he got a jet sweep here.
No, he lined up
in the backfield.
Like Hernandez.
Hell no. What did he get? How many yards did he get on that?
He got like 50, didn't he?
Yeah, a lot.
Which one was that?
It was a hell of a highlight.
But it was one that the Bill kept showing the same
place.
Yeah. Guy's a weapon.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, I mean, I he's been so bad this year, and then now you sprinkle in the injury. I don't even know if he's going to be affected.
What game was this?
Last year again.
With the Titans.
Okay.
No, you didn't miss it with the Patriots.
I thought you meant
the
Titans. Like
no, but when they signed him, I feel like they just put it on loop. Like, look what you can do with them.
Stop it.
Yeah, one play. Even if they do, it's a gimmick play. And I would say that most times now, even with protections, they don't put tight end in the backfield right next to the quarterback anymore. Like, I haven't seen it.
No.
They used to do it a lot. Now it's only on the hip, and whoever it is, it's going to be on Garrett. You know, when if you saw, like, last week's game, I want to say their safety had like three sacks. Like, he went nuts. They didn't blitz a ton, but every time they did, they hit it every single time. They timed it perfectly, and they were disruptive as hell from the second level. So,
and I don't know why that is, because I did that a ton. As a third down back, just protection, being able to pick up a safety or a corner or a linebacker, a tight end.
Yeah, but you're also no threat to run with the ball. also, you know,
right,
so,
but it's
so they're not they're they if they see you in the backfield and not a back, they're gonna sit there and go, well, there's no draw.
Right, but it's a third down play, so it's not about running the football, it's more about the pass protection.
No, it is
and you could chip and leak out into the flat and stuff like that. But that does
it's just a different, like, listen, the tight end's in the backfield, guys. He ain't running the draw. They're not running the screen. He's not flaring
but
to
he's
the
a
outside.
He's a better player to pick up protection.
Maybe.
And
depending on who you are.
Depending on who you are, he's a better. I think he's probably, you know, going to be better than most running backs because he pass protects more.
Not from distance.
And he's going to be a guy that if you hit him
harder.
If you hit him with the check down, he still can make a play on check downs.
How will the Patriots deal with Myles Garrett? And I did an interview in Cleveland, and they were like, how are they going to deal with Myles Garrett? And I'm like, well, let's remember this, y'all, that for a 20-year period, there have been numerous pass rushers who have come into Gillette Stadium where it's been, oh, what about Joey Porter? What about Harrison? What about J.J. Watt? What about Chandler Jones? On and on and on and on.
Chip Sean Taylor.
And those.
Not Sean Taylor.
Jason Taylor.
Yeah. Just chip them.
And that's the thing. So the Patriots have dealt with those kinds of rushers in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, are you worried at all about Garrett
ripping
up the Patriots?
You still have to be, because even though they have a long history of it, Garrett's having an unbelievable season. He might set the sack record. He's got 12. And then he missed two practices. And then just got removed from the list altogether. He doesn't even have an injury designation today.
He had a foot, and
full,
now he's good.
Full go. Mm-hmm. Now, Tack McKinley, who you mentioned, has already been ruled out. So that's another guy that's pretty good for them up front. So, no, I think they do usually a really good job. When you have the one dominant guy, they're going to find ways. They're always going to know where he is.
Right. Yep.
And whether it's double teams or just going away from them or whatever. And then Mac Jones has to have a little bit quicker clock in his head.
You'll see.
Because he's one of the great pass rushers in the league right now.
And Trent Brown is off IR, by the way.
Right.
You'll see Hunter Henry.
How many plays for Trent Brown
standing in front of him. That's what you'll see. You'll see Hunter Henry in the hip of the tackle standing right in front of
That worked terribly last week. Miles Garrett.
No, but that's why it might be Matt LaCosse, you know, but in terms of him being – Keith mentioned something, though, which was interesting. Can you repeat what you said there about how many plays Trent Brown gets today?
Oh, yeah. So he played 7 week one.
Yep.
Haven't seen him since. And he's had an injury history in his career. He had that 1 year with the Pats where he somehow was able to play, I think, every game. But outside of that – does he play every snap today? I say no chance.
Is he even going to start?
No chance.
Is he even going to start?
Well, he's elevated.
He does.
So
I think he starts.
It makes you
– really?
I do.
I don't think he starts. So.
Yeah, I don't think he starts.
So
where does he start?
So, unfortunately, this isn't what I would do. This is what I think they do. Week one formation. Trent Brown is your right.
And
on one
end
now is left guard.
Okay.
Mason right guard, Andrews. And for some reason, they're just trying to force Isaiah Wynn at left tackle, where I would probably – if it was up to me, I'd play him at left guard.
Yeah, I would too. Kick him inside.
But then I guess maybe your concern is, all right, if we start Trent Brown at left tackle, it's only a matter of time until we tell Wynn to go back to left tackle because Brown's either hurt, gassed, or whatever. So do you want to jerk him around like that? Or if Trent Brown's at right, you can just – they feel like they move on Wynn around way more than they're willing to move
Wynn around. Well, I would move Trent Brown. I would move – whatever lineup you want, I want Isaiah Wynn away from left tackle.
Okay, same. But I bet they don't, because aren't they stubborn about that for whatever reason?
Trent Brown gets 2 carries today. Really, he'll get some goal
Trent
line
Brown
carries.
Won't even stop.
At 370.
You don't think so?
No, he
I don't
start.
Think he starts either.
It'll be interesting to see.
He has a couple series.
It'll be interesting to see how they use Trent Brown today. This is NFL Sunday. I want to talk to our two pros about Brian Burns. Why is this guy still bitching about Mac Jones? That's next on NFL Sunday.
We're right back to NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith on WEEI.
It would be nice to have an apology, Mac. It would be nice to have an apology, but I mean, it's not going to happen. And I mean, however the NFL handles it, it's on them. I would just like to play them again. And I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting. And that's all.
That is Carolina defensive end Brian Burns, who got his leg pulled by Mac Jones in apparently the crime of the century in the National Football League. It is 9:50. This is NFL Sunday, getting you ready for the Patriots and the Cleveland Browns. We are at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville at Patriot Place, right here beside Gillette Stadium. So Brian Burns wants an apology, and Rodney Harrison, who was known to who was known to do some things.
Just a few ankles in his career.
Yes, as a player in the NFL, joined Merloni and Fourier this week. And, well, he basically told old Burnsy to shut up.
I wouldn't apologize to that dude. Hey, at the end of the day, the Patriots kicked their butts up and down the field. And, you know, you just got to live with it. It's something you got to live with. But, Mac, I mean, he showed me some toughness, too. I mean, the fact that he's not responding, he's not walking up there with his tail between his legs, man. Matt Jones got some heart. I like that.
What do you two NFLers make of another NFLer complaining that another guy in the league hasn't apologized to him
a quarterback
for when he did
asking
nothing
for a quarterback
wrong,
to apologize?
Yeah. I tell him, stop bitching, man.
Yeah, the wussification. Seriously. I almost feel like he was kidding, but I don't think he was.
I don't think so either, especially with the happy hunting line at the end.
Right. Yeah, like, I know I'm not going to get a – so, hey, you guys, hey, all you other defensive linemen and defensive backs that I can get sacks, hey, you know, stand up for me. Right. It's a fraternity. We got to have each other's back. It really was pathetic.
Yeah, it was
and
bad.
And the whole – can we – dude, does anyone think that Mac Jones physically twisted on purpose his ankle or – was he was Burns trying to get out of it, thus twisting his own ankle?
Right. Look at his upper body. If you watch the replay, he's trying to get out of it so he can go, you know, throw a block or do whatever he was going to do. And he took himself down, and then he's grabbing his ankle like he got shot.
Like he went all soccer player, injury, like stop.
He came back with the strength.
Like, what do you?
The dumbest statement ever, too, is the I wish we could play him again. It's like, well, you played two more quarters in the game. Right. Were you more fueled to get after him? You could have hit him then.
Stop it!
What a baby!
Yeah, he
was
really
grabbing
is.
His ankle like he had the Gordon Hayward injury. Like
he was.
Stop
he's like,
stop it! And then a play later. You were back on the field.
He's right back out
there. Stop it. And all.
Okay, so Lawrence Guy told us on Gresham Keith this week that he the only time he has ever really apologized in an NFL game was for tackling Adrian Peterson when he thought he had the ball. And AP was like, hey, man. And LG was just like, I'm sorry, man. It was just like, hey, I brought you down. I thought you had the ball. Wiggy, have you ever done anything in an NFL game that you either did apologize for or in retrospect should have apologized for in your career?
No. And as long as it's between the whistles, I think it's all good.
No eye pokes, no thumb to the eye.
I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't do that at the bottom of the
pile. Blast a guy in the yam bag or anything that.
If I was doing that, it was more to try to get the ball away from him.
Gamesmanship.
Than anything. Well, you know. On any turnover, I don't know if Christian will tell you this. There's been many of interceptions where I've been on the field, and I went from an offensive player to a defensive player, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This isn't good. This is not good. This is not good.
That's so true, though.
I'm like,
let me get down here real quick.
No. Your head goes on a swivel, and it's like, okay, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do in this position. I'm not used to tackling anybody.
I'm not coaching this up.
Right. Yeah. I'm not used to tackling anybody, and I'm running around like somebody.
Suddenly you're the hunted.
That's exactly what happens. You go from a guy that's looking to air-hole people. Yeah.
And now someone's got another doing it to you. I'm going to get a hit on this guy right now.
That is so true. I could not have expressed it better. You sit and you go, you know, where are they?
Where
are they?
They're coming.
Because you're running around. You don't know what's going on. And
some safety that you caught earlier.
And
or
just
some
linemen and all. Right. And they're trying to get back at you. I will say this, though. The one time, the dirtiest thing I ever did, I would never apologize because the guy was a complete ass. And I was with the Seattle Seahawks.
His name was Rodney Harrison.
No. He was never. I never thought he was dirty.
No, Rodney was.
I never thought he was dirty.
After the whistle. He wasn't after the whistle.
Who was it?
So, I don't even remember.
Okay.
It was like year five or something like that, year six. And the play was over, and totally over. And this dude, like the whole, you know, dominating, let me show you, you know, whatever. And like he was like standing over me. I wasn't even have the ball. It was like a blocking play that somebody else tackled. I was in the pile, and he stood over me like this. Like, and he wouldn't move.
Oh,
and he wouldn't move.
Guys.
I was like, you did it.
Okay.
Yeah. And bop. Yep. I smacked him right in the right between him. And And I didn't even care.
Yeah,
I did not
no,
even
at that
care.
Point.
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just let this and
yeah,
I
have emasculate you in front of thousands?
I remember, like, everybody was all
millions
pissed
at
off.
Home.
Who was it? Was there Chad Eaton played
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chad Eaton.
He played here.
D-lineman.
He ended up coming, and he was, like, berating me. I told him to go, just go F yourself. Like, act like you're some, like, holier than thou. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never done anything. Like, no, I was not having that. For some reason, I remember being, this is really emasculating right now.
Like, yeah, I don't care for this.
It's like, what is this guy doing?
Uh-huh. It's the defender mentality. When they tackle you, they feel like they have to lay on you extra hard or use you to get up. And like when you're, you know, after you catch a ball, they feel like they want to like they want to make it sure like, oh, you know I'm here. It's mm-hmm. like, dude, I know you're here. You just tackled me.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah, there's another
thing,
play. Let's
the
go.
Only thing I am sorry about is that I think I missed. I think I just grazed them. I don't think I actually made right. contact, because if I made contact, he would have been down on his knees.
Yeah.
But see, I was always like looking for the hunting when I played, and if I felt like somebody did something dirty to me, mm-hmm. I was always looking for like the
payback.
The air hole
me too.
Shot.
Sure.
You
me
know
too.
What I mean? Or the other
Happy
thing,
Gilmore, 92.
Or the other thing I used to do.
Waterboy.
Waterboy.
The other thing I used to do is I'd look for the chance to cut him down like a redwood, because the defensive players
yeah, yeah.
hated,
they hate that
they
worse.
Hate it.
They
yeah.
hated it. So I'd always look for a guy like, and then we'd run like the little like stretch play, and I'd come off the double team, and then I'd chop him right.
Pull his pins.
Oh, man.
I tell
How
you
about
what.
That?
It's so true.
The NFL Sunday is sponsored by Ketchus Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at KetchusLaw.com. Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass., and your New England Kubota tractor dealers. We roll into hour two of NFL Sunday, breaking down everything Patriots with Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.